AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a bumper weekend of Scottish football. After the excitement of the Old Firm win, Rangers drop points at Easter Road. Celtic go 13 clear, but Brendan Rodgers has a pop at the fans for not trusting the team and for disrespecting Greg Taylor. There were big wins for the likes of Hearts, Motherwell, Ross County and St Johnstone are starting to get cut adrift at the bottom. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna.
You asked us in the show on Saturday about New Year's resolutions, Gordon. I was thinking about it. So driving to Perth yesterday and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if in 2025 we could just all get along? And since I had that thought, Brendan Rodgers is taking the Celtic fans to task. Philip Clement's taking referees to task again. St Johnstone fans have taken poor old Simo Valakari to task as they go 8 points adrift. And don't even start me about Slobodan Rubicic and Tony Watt. And then I just thought, nah, let's not, you know, be nice to each other. That should make this show very, very dull in 2025.
Hugh Keevans has told you, Scottish football runs on spite, malice and mistrust. And we wouldn't have it any other way. Good weekend though, Marvin Bartley.
Yeah, very good weekend. But just on the theme of Roger saying there, people getting along. Pundits in this studio don't even get along. Because the last time I was here,
I know there's a bit of bad blood.
Get a 10. And this man to my right hand side, he was working at the time.
Don't worry, it's not been lost on me and we're going to get to it. I'll just try and keep you two apart until 7 o'clock. Roger the Grass Hannah and Marvin the Dodgem Bartley
What I need to know is, am I Rubicic or am I what?
Well, exactly, we'll find out in a minute. Lewis Ferguson's actually joining us for the second half of the show.
Yeah, current Scotland star Lewis Ferguson live from Bologna.
Since he was the subject of the big debate between you two. But anyway, we've got enough on our plates before then. 0141-951-1025. An incredible list of talking points. Rangers fans, what happened? All of a sudden, the team was heading in the right direction. Things were looking good, battering Celtic in the Old Firm game, and then reverting to type away from home. A 3-3 draw, some mix-ups defensively, and all sorts of moaning issues for you. Referees included, I'm sure. The penalty incidents got everyone talking as well. So all the events from Easter Road covered if you can on the phones. Celtic fans, it was heading for a totally routine 3-0 win, 13 points clear, not much more to be said. And then Brendan Rodgers had plenty to say. Very angry, very animated, unprompted almost in his press conference after the game. He thinks the fans are getting on the team's back. He wants them to relax, trust the team. Don't moan when passes go backwards at 0-0 after 20 minutes. And he thinks the singing of Kieran Tierney's name is disrespectful to Greg Taylor. So do you agree on both counts, either counts, no count? Give us a shout, please. 0141-951-1025. Great win for Motherwell, great win for Hearts, St Johnstone getting cut adrift, Dundee United lose, but they're still fine in third. So give us all your thoughts, please. 0141-951-1025. And maybe, just maybe, Marvin Bartley's prediction of Aberdeen finishing in the bottom six that we all ridiculed might actually be coming back around. But we can get to that before the end. Give us a call right now. And to whet your appetite, result of the weekend, please.
I'm going to go for Hearts.
Okay.
Dundee United have had loads of plaudits, third in the league. Hearts have gone there, won the game, played really well. James Penrose outstanding this season, an excellent goal, and suddenly they're 8 points above that bottom place now.
Yep, I'm going outside the Premiership. I'm going with Dunfermline. A brilliant, brilliant weekend for them. Obviously got rid of their manager 2 weeks ago. But yeah, 4-1 victory away at Partick Thistle. It's not something to be sniffed at. And, you know, I think the new manager's going to be going in this week as well. So a hard act to follow.
Ross County win a third away game for the first time in their history in the top flight and get overlooked. Absolutely pathetic.
We'll come to them.
Goal of the weekend?
Ross County's George Harmon.
Ah, okay.
Lovely team goal. Ronan Hale worked it out on the left-hand side at Rugby Park, fizzed into the near post and put it the other side of Robbie McCrory. Excellent goal. And you know something? A record-breaking third successive away win. David Friel told you that.
I heard that. Choose wisely.
As much as it pains me, I have to go with the Motherwell. Thank you. How do you pronounce his name? Maswanisi.
TJ, apparently they call him.
Yeah, so TJ. Let's go with TJ. Yeah.
Oh, JT. So it's just wrong way around.
Yeah, JT. What a goal that was, though. First touch, unbelievable, and a really, really composed finish. His movement was brilliant all day long. And as I said, you know, that is a real top goal from this weekend.
Okay, what about your howler of the weekend?
Big Marv's pal, Slobodan Rubicic, the clash with Tony Watt in front of the home dugout. I don't really know what he was thinking. I know Marv has views of this. I heard them on the TV last night.
I was going to say, Marv's on the telly saying that Tony Watt's the howler of the weekend. Well,
if Slobodan doesn't do that, then Tony can't do anything. Very silly boy, 10 without a win. He's suspended for the next game now. Live in the telly against Hearts on Sunday. It's not going well for Aberdeen.
You're not having him, are you? You're not having that as a...
Nah, I don't think it's a red card. I really don't. I know there's this double movement thing we were talking about. And it was stupid. I agree with Roger. Very, very silly thing to do. I think his manager was highly frustrated after the game as well. But yeah, I'm really unsure of that being a red card.
Okay. What was your howler then of the weekend?
Well, I could pick one of two that he made in the game. Hemmings in goal for St Mirren. Coming back on loan.
Fans delighted to see him back as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, rightfully so, because he's brilliant for them last season. I think he signed on a Saturday and then put straight in goal on a Sunday. And it just looked like he just got caught cold. A couple of big, big mistakes from him in that game.
I don't know how the angles back heel gets to Nicholas Kuhn is remarkable. Yeah. Three people there is quite something. And I don't think Stephen Robinson would have been too pleased. Let's finish on a more positive note then. Who's your top man, your top performer of the weekend?
Easy choice. Hamza Aigerman, hat-trick for Rangers, perfect hat-trick. Best display of his Rangers career so far.
Same game, Martin Boyle. You know, he's hitting the twilight end of his career now. Still got a little bit of pace about him, but you know he's leading the line extremely well for Hibs at the moment, and he's captain fantastic as well, with Joe Newell being out.
Okay, well, what do you think then? Has that suitably inspired you to talk about the weekend's action? Hopefully so. Give us all your thoughts, please. Easter Road, just so many talking points, six goals, drama, good performances, like the guys have mentioned, bad performances as well. Rangers dropping points again, that away run just not improving anytime soon. 13 points behind. Philippe Clement not happy with the award of a penalty. How do you feel about that? And then really, Brendan Rodgers, it was all about his press conference yesterday. The game itself, I'm sure, was perfectly enjoyable and straightforward for the Celtic fans, but it's these comments from Brendan Rodgers that's got everybody talking. So give us a call, please, right now, 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers just to set the tone. In case you've not heard him, he is not happy with the fans for getting onto the team in yesterday's win against St Mirren.
When it was 0-0 for the first 20 minutes, we make a backward pass and the crowd get onto the team. Now that cannot happen. One, if you know about football, and two, if you can understand that when teams come here, they're going to make it really difficult. You know, you can't turn up every single week and be 3-4-0 up in 20 minutes. Teams are well organised. Teams are well set up. You have to work the game. So sometimes you have to play a backward pass to change the point of attack. We make a backward pass and then we go on to the players. And that's why I was proud of the players. This is a point, I don't need the cheers when it's 3-0 and the support when it's 3-4-0 and 5-0. This team needs it. It's just the amount of games that they're playing and how we play. You only need to look at the facts and how this team plays to know they're an attacking team, a creative team that creates goals and scores goals. So when we decide to go back to change the point of attack, clap the players. Don't panic. Don't start getting onto them, you know, because we're trying to get another attack, right? And the players deserve more. The players deserve the trust. And that was my annoyance today, because it 2-0, 3-0 is great. But we need the support when it's 0-0, especially amidst a run of games where there's so many games, you know, where you might be a fraction just fatigued, but we don't mention that. We want to attack. Look at our numbers. Look at our stats. Just trust. Trust the team. Trust the manager. If you don't, just trust. Just trust the team. Trust how they play. We've seen it consistently now. It's not like a year or so ago where it was a little bit slow and a little bit, you know, and players are getting used to it. The consistency of the team has been incredible. The level of the team has been such a high level. But support it, and then you'll get even more out of the team.
I got excited there. First caller on tonight is Brendan. I thought it was maybe the man himself on to clarify his position. You just share a name though, Brendan. What's your take on your manager's comments? Are you with him or against him?
I'm totally against it. Honestly, I was driving home from the game and it was, and you put it on right at the end of the show whilst I'm in the car, get the heating on full blast, try to get a heat back into me. Freezing. Right, and I actually went in the house and my missus like to me what's wrong with me, and I was like on YouTube, I was like I need to see this the full interview, cause, and she was like what's up, and I went he's just basically ostracised all of us that go week in week out, pay our money. Now he needs to, he's taking this out of context. It wasn't just cause of one back pass. Right, for the first 13 minutes of that game, Celtic were so flat. Like the ball wasn't getting shifted. Let's see, like we normally shift it to side to side to side to get. We get it. We need to move teams about to open up the space. But it wasn't. It was going down to like Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor was looking at Dyson Meada. Dyson Meada wasn't making a run. Then it was going back. It wasn't just back one back pass. It was about 25 back passes, and we weren't doing anything with it. We were just dead flat. Didn't get out of first gear. And that's my and then it was the first game it'd been back after we get defeated to Rangers. So the fans have got the right to voice their opinion. And is he coming out ostracising us? Because we feel, all right, fair enough, we get bet right off Rangers, one blip, as he puts it. But we need to recycle the ball. No, because the past four or five games we've been flat. We've been starting games flat. The fans have got the right to voice that opinion. And then the second one.
Let's do that first, because I know the sort of Tierney Greg Taylor thing is separate. I've seen some people, you know, agree with Brendan Rodgers on one and not the other. Let's deal with that, because I think you've sort of explained your point quite well. What are you two thinking? Is Brendan Rodgers right to say what he said about the moans and groans in the first half or not?
24 hours ago, I was dreaming of us all getting along. Now we've got Brendan versus Brendan. Celtic Park has been a stress-free environment for a very long time. When Celtic fans arrived for the game yesterday, it wasn't such a place, because they'd just seen their team being dismantled 3-0 at Ibrox on Thursday. They were in shock. They were dismayed by that display. And as Hugh said on both shows over the weekend, they were desperate for their team to show some variety of reaction. And as Brendan, the caller, not the manager, said, they didn't show that in the opening 20 minutes. Now, I understand why Brendan, the manager, was upset, but the supporters were in a place in those opening 20 minutes before Nicholas Kuhn scored the opening goal. They were in a place that they hadn't been in for a very long time, and it was a place of uncertainty that they didn't know which way the game was going to go yesterday, whether they were going to be subjected to the kind of performance they'd seen on Thursday.
But I think that's what Brendan, the manager, means when he talks about trust, Marvin. Yeah. The body of evidence this season really, really, really suggests that Celtic were going to go on and win the game comfortably yesterday, regardless of what happens in the opening 20 minutes. And really, really suggests that it was highly unlikely to end up anything like the game on Thursday. Is he right to say what he did, or is he ostracised, to use the other Brendan's word?
No, listen, I think, you know, Brendan has came out and he spoke with passion, and he's frustrated, and I think if anyone's earned the right, any manager in Scotland, it's him so far this season. You know, that's one defeat. Obviously, it came against Rangers, their biggest rivals. They're clear in the league. They've won the League Cup, and they're doing really, really well in the Champions League. So I understand his frustrations, because, you know, it's 20 minutes into a game. If it had been the 85th minute, the 90th minute, and the fans were, you know, showing their frustration, I'm sure that Brendan, when it came out, said, I understand it, you know, 0-0 at home to St Mirren, but it's 20 minutes into a game of football. He's also said that it's 11v11. You know, St Mirren aren't going to come there and lay down and allow Celtic to do what Celtic want to do. They've played a lot of games. Yes, there's going to be flatness. They're not superhuman. These players are only human, regardless of what they get paid, regardless of everything else. They are only human. They would have been affected by losing to Rangers. They know they have to come out and respond to that. And at the end of the day, you look at the final result, they've done that. They've kept a clean sheet. They've won, you know, 3-0. I think St Mirren had one shot on target. So, you know, I'm not going against any supporters out there, but I do understand what Brendan Rodgers has said, and I understand his kind of frustration that, you know, obviously certain section of the supporters booing.
Yeah, I am torn, because I'll never understand the way Brendan on the line feels, because he's the one that pays his money. Yeah. And as long as you're being polite enough and respectful enough, you can, you know, you can voice whatever you want. On that though, Brendan, is there any part of you that understands, you know, if you're a manager and you're kind of winning all the time, scoring a number of goals, keeping clean sheets, it was the day you went 13 points clear, where he's probably hoping there's just a little bit more goodwill, a little bit more trust, as he says, that you don't all start panicking after 20 minutes. And you said, yeah, but the first 20 minutes was flat. No disrespect, but no team in the planet can dominate every single game, you know, from minute one to minute 90.
Understand that, right? But where we're cut, me and the boys that are round about us, right, at the top of the game, right? So we've been bet off our rivals, 3-0, right? But the facts of the matter, the simple facts of the matter, we were getting bet off our rivals. Now, the Rangers have strung a back four together to don't know where. They've never played one game together. Their goalkeeper was their second ever game playing for them. Did we even test them? No. Did we even put the back four under pressure? No.
So this is really all about the Rangers game then. Do you think if yesterday's first 20 minutes came on the back of any other result, you don't think it happens?
That doesn't happen.
Okay, because that does change things, to be fair.
Yeah.
Let's look at the second point as well. Let's hear his thoughts on Greg Taylor, because I know you've got something to say on that, Brendan. Of course, the Celtic fans are thinking that they might be getting Kieran Tierney back, and we're singing his name. And here's what the manager had to say on that topic.
Total lack of respect. Of course it is. Greg Taylor, been absolutely amazing at this club. How does he feel? He's playing near the bricks, his nose, bleeding for the club, for the cause. I'm all right about the players that are here. It's not very respectful. You're singing for another player, no matter what Kieran's history is. I don't like that. I hear the stuff around him, maybe Champions League. Right? But to be fair, add hundreds of Celtic players that haven't been good enough in Champions League, you know. Add Greg Taylor or whatever people might do, but there's lots of players. But what I know is this is a man who gives everything for this club, and hopefully we can keep him here, because we're trying to build a strong squad. As I said, he might decide to go elsewhere. But at this moment in time, he's here. He's very much a Celtic player. And we want to support that, and hopefully we can get to some agreement to allow him to stay. I put myself in his shoes, playing in left back in the game, and we're singing the name of someone else. I see me stood on the side and the supporters singing for another manager, especially when you're doing so much for the club and have given so much for the club. It's a little frustrating.
Right, he's wrong on the first point, according to you, Brendan. Is he wrong on that one as well, or does he have more of a point there?
No. Well, so see, Parkhead, for years over years, have not signed previous players' names still, right? And he's taken it out of context. I would understand, see, if it was maybe like 55 minutes into the game, not 89th minute. 89th minute, we're not attacking Greg Taylor. We're not saying, oh, you're absolutely rubbish. Not at all. No Celtic fan at roundabout me will say, we want Greg Taylor to sign another contract, but with us singing another player's song, It was a big part of Celtic. He's got a big love affair with Celtic. The fans have got a love affair with him. Are we wrong, but we're not singing about Henrik Larsson anymore? We're not singing about Arthur Boric? That makes no sense, because we sang another one.
Do you think it's the same, though? Because obviously it's the imminent signing, isn't it? You know, Henrik Larsson, as much as I'm sure it would be popular, isn't signing anytime soon. What do you two think on this one? Is Brendan Rodgers more right on this than the first point, or more wrong, or the same? How would you sum it up?
I think he's less right.
Okay.
Of all the points I would have expected Brendan Rodgers to make after that game, this wouldn't have hit the top 100. He would have a point if Brendan the Collar and his fellow Celtic fans were jeering Greg Taylor, they were singing against Greg Taylor, they were demanding the removal of Greg Taylor, but they weren't. They were just singing about a former hero who is beloved by the faithful. He's probably beloved by Brendan Rodgers as well, because he's trying to re-sign him at them as we speak. You know, as Brendan, the caller, was saying, when they sing about Henrik Larsson, it's not a slight in Kyogo. When they sing about Scott Brown, it's not a slight in Callum McGregor. When they were singing about Kieran Tierney, it was born out of excitement at the prospect of Kieran Tierney coming back to the football club. I don't think they were belittling Greg Taylor.
Is it a more difficult one, that, Marvin? Because it's hard to speak on behalf of all the Celtic fans. Some might say, well, we'd quite like them both, actually. We'd love Kieran Tierney to come back. We wouldn't mind if Greg Taylor was the guy he was fighting it out with. Or do you take the other view? Is it disrespectful to, to Greg Taylor?
No, I'm agreeing with Roger on this one. I don't see it as disrespectful, and if I would have, you know, heard that myself, I wouldn't have thought, oh, it's something against Greg Taylor. Again, it's just, you know, Kieran Tierney, a fantastic player, still 27 years of age, there's a chance that he could come back to the football club. The fans are excited by it, as all fans get excited by signings. The only thing I would, you know, maybe say on it, though, is Brendan may have seen Greg Taylor's reaction to that, maybe in the dressing room that we don't get to see, and maybe that's why he
would
come out
of
the post-match.
Would it be safe to assume there must be something that sort of sparked it?
Yeah, or... I would think so. You know, and as fans, we don't really see that, but as a manager, you know, if you go into a dressing room, I'm not saying it did or didn't happen, but if he's seen a reaction from Greg Taylor, which, you know, wasn't a positive one, to maybe hearing that, I understand him then coming and saying it. But, you know, looking at it in the cold light of day, if fans are just thinking about Kieran Tierney, I don't see a problem with that at all.
What a split on social media on this. We put up the clip of Brendan Rodgers' press conference yesterday. It has been viewed more than 1 million times on Twitter. I can see so many people saying Brendan Rodgers is right on both points. He's wrong on both. He's right on the Greg Taylor and he's wrong on the passing backwards, vice versa. I've seen the lot, so let's carry on. Brendan says he's wrong on Brendan on the line, for the avoidance of doubt, says the manager is wrong on both counts. Do you have a different view? Give us a call right now. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are joined now by Tommy, who's a Celtic fan from Coatbridge. How are you, Tommy?
I'm fine. How are you? Happy New Year to all three of you.
Thank you, Tommy. Same to you. What are you thinking tonight then?
Well, I listened to Brendan McCullough. Brendan McCullough's entitled his opinion. Everybody's entitled an opinion. Brendan Rodgers entitled his opinion. I was at the game yesterday myself, and coming out of the game, I heard it on the radio. I was taking it back a wee bit. But Brendan Rodgers entitled his opinion. I thought St Mirren played very well at the start of the game yesterday. Very well organised. Hard to break down. I've been to Celtic Park when they've won nothing. I've seen the Lisbon Lions. I think we all need to take a wee back step here and say, wait a minute. Since Christmas Day, we were 9 points ahead in the league. 4 games on, we are now 13 points clear in the league. I think we've got to... Mr. Rodgers is entitled to his opinion, and everybody's got to respect that. He may not agree with it, but he's entitled to it.
I think the beauty of this is everybody's is entitled to theirs, Roger. I think what would just be... For me on the outside then, who's never had to worry about a team that wins all the time. Like I had a tweet in there, I lost it, saying, you know, it's a hard watch at times. And to go back to Tommy's point, you're entitled to that opinion. I can't tell you that you're wrong. It just makes me wonder that, are you maybe better off just finding something else on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon? Does it get that much better? Can you dominate every single game and light up the place? Because they're doing not too badly at it.
Well, listen, Tommy, if he has seen the Lisbon Lions, he's obviously a gentleman of a certain age. And Tommy will know that Celtic fans are going through an era of almost unprecedented domestic success. I think, is it 13 titles in 14 years? We're just going through a calendar year in 2024 where Celtic won more trophies than they lost games in all competitions, Gordon. Tommy would be able to take you back to the days when Celtic were losing cup finals to Raith Rovers, you may have heard on this show, where they were going 6 years without a single piece of silverware coming into the football club. So I think you need to put everything into perspective. Celtic won the game 3-0 yesterday. I just can't get away from the fact that a lot of the frustration, anxiety, stress around the stadium in the opening 20 or 25 minutes yesterday had nothing to do with Celtic versus St Mirren and everything to do with Rangers v Celtic last Thursday.
I suppose though, Marvin, like, if, let's just say if Celtic had won all these titles and all they had done was really, you know, this functional team that had sort of ground their way to it, I'd maybe see the point. But we're almost falling into this trap of acting as if the style isn't good when it is. It's just obviously has dips within games, and then maybe in the last few weeks it hasn't hit the Leipzig heights, but again, those heights were high. So everyone is going to see these things differently. I just wonder what the realistic sort of expectations would be?
Well, I think they're hitting their realistic expectations. I really, really
do. I mean, for everyone.
Well, and Tommy makes a great point with it. You know, people might say, oh, they've been a bit slow to start games recently and they've extended their lead at the top of the table. You know, so I don't really understand how you can have Celtic in one hand and Hardwatch in the other and put them two together. I know someone's obviously tweeted that in. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I think that's why Brendan really, really is frustrated because, listen, I've never managed, obviously, at that level, but it's a hard enough job, you know, and he's doing it extremely well, as I said, domestically, as Roger said there, you know, all the titles that he's won whilst being a Celtic manager in Europe this season, they've been absolutely fantastic. And I think they've outdone anything that anybody thought they would have done in terms of this new Champions League format. And still, you know, he gets 20 minutes in the game and people are disappointed with it. And I agree with Tommy because I watched that game because I was working yesterday. And, you know, St Mirren set up extremely well and they were hitting on the counter and they defended extremely well. And then Celtic managed to open them up. Celtic were always in control of that game. They were never going to lose it. So I just don't understand the booze. But again, Roger hits a fantastic point by saying it's all come off the back of the Rangers game. That's one defeat domestically for them. So I think you have to give them that and kind of move on.
What about the other point, Tommy, the Greg Taylor, Kieran Tierney thing?
I've got my issues sometimes with Greg Taylor on the left back, but you put him in the middle of the park. A lot of great passes. Led to a lot of goals for Celtic this season, last season. Can't disagree with that. I'm not saying he's not as good a left-back as what Kieran Tierney is. I think that the issue he's got here is Brendan Rodgers. I know they sing about Henrik Larsson and all that, but they're singing about a player who's still at another club. There's a difference between singing about Henrik Larsson when he's now retired and Arthur Boric. Kieran Tierney's still playing at another club. I get his point. I do get Brendan Rodgers' point on it. I do understand what he's saying.
I'm fascinated to see the reaction because they're going to play again at home very soon.
Wednesday night against Dundee United.
So there are a couple of possibilities. It either moves on completely and the subject doesn't get touched again, or the Celtic fans sing Greg Taylor's name as a show of support and that it's not disrespect, or double down and sing Kieran Tierney's name even louder.
Well, there is always that threat that those who were singing are not happy that they were ostracised, as Brendan, the first caller, described it, and they will double down sometimes when the official messaging from the football club goes out in a certain way. There is a group within the support who rally against that. So do not be surprised to hear the Kieran Tierney song again on Wednesday night. I'll be fascinated to see how the whole left-back issue plays out. Burnaby's gone, Vi's only on loan, Taylor's only got a deal to the end of the season, Tierney is on his way back in. If you're Greg Taylor, if I was Greg Taylor, I would be less concerned about the singing than I would be about losing my place to Kieran Tierney and what the future would hold for me.
Maybe it's all linked though, I suppose.
Yeah, possibly.
Very little being said about an actual football match, Marvin, which is very is very Scottish football. But like I said, take a look at social media. All I can see in the screen is wall-to-wall calls on this topic. So give us a bit, give us something on the football match.
It was a brilliant football match. As I said there, you know, it's St Mirren set up extremely well. Celtic were always in control for me. You know, they got maybe lucky with a couple of goals in terms of Hemmings making mistakes. But, you know, the move for the first one, and I know Nicholas Kuhn doesn't hit the best of strikes, but it ends up in the back of the net. Maeda makes a fantastic run. But I was impressed with Celtic, you know, and that's why I'm quite surprised. People have spoken about how do you get a reaction? Will they get a reaction? They won 3-0, as I said earlier on in the show. It was a perfect reaction. You know, they've extended their lead at the top of the table. The players played with confidence. He made a few changes to freshen it up as well. And as I said, you know, for anyone who thinks that Celtic's a hard watch, come and support somebody else within the Premier League because you'll soon go back to Celtic Park.
And if you're Nicholas Kuhn, 16 goal contributions in 17 games in the league.
16 goals.
16 goals in all competitions. You're thinking, who's this Kieran Tierney character? Why are they not singing my name?
Let's thank Tommy. Real mixed bag. First caller thought Brendan Rodgers was wrong. Tommy thought Brendan Rodgers was right. I suppose there is a middle ground that we very rarely analyse in Scotland. But George is next up. What do you think, George?
Good evening, boys, and Happy New Year to yourself
and
Roger
you, George.
And Marvin.
Hi, mate.
Nice to hear you out there again, guys. It's my point is that I've been a Celtic fan all my life. I'm 60. And Greg Taylor's not committed. He could sign for any club right now. He's not committed to Celtic. So I see, you know, that sense where Greg Taylor is and where the fans are. And you know, Kieran Tierney has been, you know, as you know, he's got an love affair with Celtic. He's been there since he was a kid, and the fans are, you know, in my opinion, when I went to the games, Gordon, way back in the, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, and all these other games I've been to, and I hear, you know, people like Murdo McLeod signing for 100,000 for Dumbarton. I can mention David Prott. I can mention all the players if you want and tell you what they signed for. You know, that's the history of the club. But, you know, all the fans let you know who they wanted to sign back in the day. I don't think it's disrespectful. I think it's been, again, as one of the callers said, I think it was Brendan saying, it was the 89th minute, the chant went up about Kieran. I would see the point if it was getting chanted off through the whole season, because we knew that Greg Taylor wasn't committed to the club because he's obviously split his contract run down. Again, that's up to him and the club, and that's what they do. But personally, I think Mr. Rogers has walked away from us before. We have to stay here, Gordon. We're the supporters. We pay our money week in, week out. You know, Mr. Rogers is fortunate enough to be manager there, but he can go any time. It's his loyalties lying with who knows when he goes to another club. But we have to stay here and support that club, Gordon.
Yeah, I thought that wider point might come up along the lines of, and I appreciate I'm paraphrasing, of don't tell us what to sing, basically, is that sort of George's message. Do you understand that? Or can a successful manager exercise his influence at times?
Yes, managers can exert influence. I'm still not convinced, despite all the success he's had in two spells at the club, that Brendan Rodgers can yet exert that amount of influence on the Celtic support. We'll find out on Wednesday night whether it gets sung or not. But as I say, you quite often find with a section of the Celtic support, rightly or wrongly, I'm not judging, but sometimes when there's a pronouncement from the football club, be it from Brendan Rodgers, be it from Michael Nicholson, be it from Peter Lawwell back in the day, that they sometimes rail against it and take the stance that we'll decide what we sing, we'll decide what we bring into games, we'll decide how we act. And you might see it again on Wednesday.
Shannon says, Kieran Tierney said when he signed he'd be nervous to come back after the reaction. This was a way of letting him know he's more than welcome. Nothing to do with Greg Taylor. Major overreaction from the gaffer on Twitter. 01419511025. In terms of actual results and points in league table, which tends to be quite important, why don't we look at Easter Road yesterday? Rangers fans, you were all high as a kite after beating Celtic and then brought back down with a draw against Marvin's favourite team, Hibs, at Easter Road. So what about the game itself? It was a cracking game, by the way, but the performances, what was good, what was bad? How do you feel about the away form? Where does this leave the picture at the top of the league? Where does it leave Philippe Clement? Was it a penalty or not? You know the drill. Call us now. We'll speak to you next.
Every day is payday.
Sandra and Falkirk is our first winner on Every Day is Payday. She's £2,025 richer.
I only just entered this morning. I usually enter for the big one anyway on the Friday, but sometimes I don't do it on the Monday. Sometimes it's later on in the week and I think, oh, I've not done that yet.
But Sandra's still in the draw for the massive £200,000 on Friday, and you could be as well. It's your chance to win the biggest payday of your life. We guarantee to pay out the cash, plus you could be our next daily winner of the £2,025 tomorrow. So text YES to 61025. Do that, you get 241 on the text entries. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. Entries on the website cost 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are online, and the lines close 3 p.m. Friday. So for your chance to win £200,000 on Friday and a chance to win £2,025 tomorrow, text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are here. Still plenty of time. Not even halfway through the show yet. Here until 8 o'clock. So give us a call with whatever it is that is on your mind. I knew it would be a big talking point, but I am, even having done this many times, amazed at the number of calls coming in on what Brendan Rodgers said about fans and Greg Taylor. It is seriously like Blackpool illuminations on this screen. If you want to talk about something else, we are here for you. Give us a shout on 01419511025, or if you want to keep going, we're more than welcome. What about the Easter Road game yesterday, Marvin? You obviously have your Hibs hat. The bigger picture for us here is that after all the excitement from Ibrox against Celtic, the gap is now 13 points because Rangers again not managing to win on the road.
Yeah, Rangers started the game very, very well. Obviously, you know, going 2-0 up. And then it just seemed that anything that Hibs put into the Rangers box, Rangers couldn't deal with it. Not saying they scored from every opportunity they did have, but, you know, Lewis Miller had a header that hit the post. You know, every long throw that came in there, there was no real dominant figure to say, you know, to organise, to go and head things away, to want to throw their bodies in where it hurts. And it looked like a real Achilles heel for Rangers. And, you know, going forward, for anyone who's watching that game and got Rangers coming up, they're just going to throw the ball into the box because, as I said, they could not deal with it at all well. And that's a massive, massive worry for them going forward.
Where does it leave that bigger picture, Roger? Because, we, like I said, last few days, and Rangers fans weren't wrong to be happy with the Celtic performance, obviously. But there was still that next test that was going to come around very quickly. And in terms of points, psychologically, it's maybe helped. It's maybe shown that they can beat Celtic. It maybe gives belief. They had to get that monkey off their back, etc., etc. But in terms of the good, if that's the right word that it did in the league, it's now pretty much been wiped out.
Yeah, very much so. And I still haven't met a Rangers supporter, even filled with the euphoria of the Old Firm winning Thursday, who would have bet any money that it would go to Easter Road in Dens Park and emerge with 6 points. Because this side under Philip Clement is just not engineered to do so.
Do you think some people maybe allowed themselves to get carried away and think that this was going to be some sort of turning point?
Well, more fool them. I mean, you asked us in the show on Saturday, I just couldn't see how it was going to be. That, you know, the players aren't there to do it. Even yesterday, you made a really good point in the show yesterday, Gordon, but yesterday was slightly different in so much as when Rangers played at Motherwell, hopeless start. St Mirren, hopeless start. Aberdeen, hopeless start. Kilmarnock, hopeless start. Celtic Park in September, a hopeless start. Yesterday they started really well. Two up after 19 minutes and pinging it about. It could have been more. Hugh Keevans was in the show saying he wasn't sure what was worse, Lewis Miller's defending or Lewis Miller's haircut. And it was all Rangers.
Did they not agree to get that haircut at some point?
Oh,
he did in my mind anyway.
Can you imagine? So everything was there for Rangers. And even with everything in their favour, all the euphoria from Thursday, all the confidence that brought, same group of players, a 2-0 lead, Igamani playing superbly, they still can't see it out. They go 3-2 up, having been pegged back to 2-2, 3-2 up, and they still can't see it out. And I was listening to the headphones on at McDermott Park, listening to you guys describing the 4 or 5, whatever it was, minutes of added time. And it sounded as if you, and by extension, the Rangers fans at the game and listening and watching, weren't sure Rangers weren't going to concede a fourth.
I mean, Eggerman has a good chance at the end as well, I suppose. But it was an interesting day for the neutral, by the way. What a game it was. Six
it was a brilliant
goals,
game.
Talking points, good bits, a lot of bad bits, I think. You know, some defensive moments from both teams. Bit of controversy, which we can get to if the callers so wish. John, as a Rangers fan, what's the main thing you take away from the game, John?
I think it's the wonderful world of Scottish football. You're a saint one day and a sinner the next. I think Philip Clement is away record is absolutely shocking. It's far from good enough. I'm not taking the excuses of the penalty and things like that. That's got nothing to do with the outcome of the game. If you can't defend, you won't win games. It's as simple as that. I know one of our backup defenders is now injured as well. It's an absolute nightmare for Rangers at the back now. It's horrific to see.
In isolation, you could say that, well, if your defending's below par yesterday, that's because you've got a makeshift back four and goalkeeper. People will very quickly say, but you praised them a lot when they kept the clean sheet against Celtic. And then the bigger picture, as John says, but it's not just about yesterday. It's about all of these away games that Roger mentions, many of which John Souter has been available and Balogun's been available and Jack Butland's been available. So it depends if you're narrowed in on yesterday or is it just this away form? I was going to ask you, Marvin, is it the away form that's killing Rangers? But how could it not be?
Yeah, it is. The away form's alarming. It really, really is. It's far from good enough. And, you know, Rangers fans have spoken about it. Philip Clement's spoken about it, but he's not done an awful lot about it. The one difference I saw in yesterday's game compared to other away games that they have had is that, you know, going 2-0 up and being in full control of the game, and then you're just asking your defenders to defend long balls into the box, by the way. I'm not talking about, you know, crosses that were meeting people's heads and it was impossible for them to defend. Dwight Gayle was beating their centre-halves in the air, you know, and Dwight Gayle isn't known for, you know, being aerial dominant. He's 5'5" or 5'6", and, you know, he was really getting away from them. And as soon as Sterling went off, you know, you knew what was going to happen. Proper came in and, you know, everyone was delighted for him because he scored against Celtic last week. You know, but yesterday I really expected to see a commanding kind of performance from him, especially when Sterling went off.
And what height did you just say like Dwight Gayle was?
5'6". Is he bigger than
no,
that?
No, he's bigger than that.
What are you?
Are you serious?
What are you?
No, because whatever I say, you'll just laugh.
No, I won't.
Dwight Gayle is not 5'6".
What are you?
How tall are you? 5'8".
Well, people under 6 foot, I don't know. I don't know what that feels like.
Just
so
small to you.
Yeah, I just don't know the
Dwight
height.
Dwight Gayle is not 5'6".
Well, I'd say he's probably 5'8" then.
I'd say 5'10", 5'11", Dwight Gayle.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, maybe. I'm actually going to see him soon, so I'll measure up. That's but yeah, anything under 6 foot. Sorry, Dwight. But anyway, he shouldn't be beating proper in the air. That's what I'm saying. And he was doing it and doing it. And Rocky scores the goal at the end. You know, you've got a corner coming to the box. By the way, they had so many warnings with Hibs putting corners in and Hibs getting first contact, and they just crumbled. They really, really crumbled. So, you know, I agree with John. There's a real alarming thing going on at Rangers.
John, we were on for a bit after the game yesterday, and I think most of the calls we got, though, did say that the Celtic win and the cup final performance and the Spurs performance had convinced the fans that called that, you know, it's still worth sticking with Philippe Clement, and they didn't want to criticise him. How do you feel? Because I've still seen a bit of criticism towards the manager based on that away record that you mentioned.
I've just got a sneaky feeling that no, come what may, that he's here until the end of the season. I really don't think the board's going to let him go. They just recently, no, too recently, gave him a contract extension. So I really don't see him getting put out the door. I think we really need to get some defenders in this window. I think the defence was up in the air in the season to begin with. John Souter's famous for his injuries. Liam Balogun's nearly the wrong end of 40. Both of them have had injuries throughout their careers, and we've brought in one defender, one central defender, to solve the problem. And Robin Proper's not exactly shined himself in glory either. It's a big problem with Rangers. If you can score as many goals as you want, but if you can't keep the back door shut, you won't win games. Hamza Gamani scored three goals. You shouldn't be scoring three goals in a game and losing. It's as simple as that.
Well, listen, I can't argue with that last point, but it's away form. If you split the league table, John, between home form and away form, there's 13 points at the minute between Celtic and Rangers, and the 13 points are all away from home. They've got the matching records at home. You know, they've lifted, I think, the same amount of points at home. But away from home, Celtic
have beat each other once, 3-0, in head-to-heads.
Yeah. But away from home, you know, Rangers have still got a negative goal difference away from home. They've taken as many points on the road as Ross County, Dundee, Motherwell. This is what has hampered Rangers. It's an inability to go to places like Easter Road yesterday. And even when they're ahead twice in the game, they still can't see it out. And until such times as they can find... And it's not to do with skill or quality. It's resolve, it's determination, it's resilience, it's a willingness to, as Marv says, stand up to 5'10" Dwight Gayle, stand up to Rocky Bashiri.
What
get
do
a challenge
then?
In. You know, win what, aerial balls, win what, first and second balls.
What is it like then in this volatile part of the footballing world, where how many days ago is it now? 4 or 5 days ago, a lot, not everybody, of people said if Philippe Clement gets a heavy defeat against Celtic, that would have to be 17 points. We kept hearing it all the time in the show. All credit to them, they performed very well. Not only did they beat Celtic, they do it convincingly. But then they lose the next away game. They go to Dundee in midweek. So, can we keep doing this? Can we keep changing mind? Or like it or lump it, is John right where you say, look, this guy's the manager to the end of the season, and you have to try and make your peace with that?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. I don't think Philippe Clement would be going anywhere. I really don't. Obviously, you know, we've seen Rangers fall so many points behind this season and he's still there. People have compared it to when Bill was so many points behind and he got the sack. Gio, the same. Clement isn't going anywhere. Obviously, they've spoken about this long-term project. He's spoken about it, the club has spoken about it, and he's obviously going to be here to try and see that out. It still doesn't, you know, go away from, as Roger said there, their away form. And as I said, the most alarming one about won at Easter Road on Sunday was that they went 2-0 up, they scored three goals away from home, and they're still drawing 3-3. That, for me, is a massive, massive worry.
And we've not even debated the old penalty decision yet. So if you want to get your thoughts in, you can do. But before we do any of that, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Have to be honest, there's a bit of bad blood between these two when it comes to Beat the Pundit. We can get stuck into that after the break, but more importantly, it's your chance to have your say. When I came into the office tonight, Roger Hanna, he was gathered round with the producers. He was pleading to get moved back onto minus one for the new year. Not on my watch. Minus two.
I agree with the producers.
Or Marvin Bartley tonight.
You do know none of this happened, Marvin.
A version of that happened, okay? I've been spending a lot of time with Gordon DL. 01419511025 and the line's closed at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here. You can join them, and please do, on 01419511025. I was going to say lots. That is an understatement. The phone lines are incredibly busy with people wanting to analyse Brendan Rodgers' comments on Celtic fans and whether they don't trust the team or whether they were disrespectful to Greg Taylor, and a real range of opinions on it as well. So we did a good bit of that. We can go back to it if you want, and looking at the phone lines, you probably do. But we were getting into the swing of things at Easter Road before the news there as well. Rangers fans, how big a come down was that after the Old Firm game? What about this away form? What about Philippe Clement? What about the penalty incident that has annoyed the Rangers manager so much? What was your take on it? There was a flashpoint at Fir Park. Marvin Bartley thinks Tony Watt was the guilty party. Roger Hanna thinks Ribasic was the guilty party. So plenty of life left in this show yet. Still another hour or so to go. 01419511025. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I am worried about these two. Bad blood on Beat the Pundit. A quick refresher. You'll see the videos still out there on our social media channels. A couple of weeks ago, Marvin Bartley thought he got a 10. The Champions League music went off. He celebrated round the studio. He did that big stupid laugh that he does really, really loud. He was screaming into the mic until the grass, Roger Hanna, listening from the office or at home, text in to say, actually, Marvin, you know how you said that there were three Scotland internationals playing in Serie A? There's actually four. The producers have forgot Lewis Ferguson. Marvin, you don't know this bit, then spent, that was our Clyde One Christmas party that night. Yeah. He spent the entire night going round people saying, is Lewis Ferguson a current Scotland international? He's not been in a squad for over a year.
You know, what you don't know is, I was dicky bowed up. I had the gear on ready to come to Christmas night out, and the Dazzler text me to say, you better not coming in. Big Martin, as he talks about. Big Martin's in the warpath. He's after you. Stay in the house. I didn't even get my Christmas night out.
Are you over it yet?
Has it been taken away from me officially?
Yes.
That's...
I blame the producers.
Yeah.
Quite surprised though. Looking at social media, you got a lot of support.
Of course, because basically the final whistle had been blown and then you've taken it away.
VAR can check once the whistle goes.
Although he didn't get support, I have to confess, I was at Rugby Park on Boxing Day for Super Scoreboard, and sitting behind me representing BBC Scotland was a gentleman called Derek Ferguson.
Who thought Lewis was still a current Scotland international.
Who suggested I might be correct and Marvin might be wrong.
Put him in his place. Anyway, let's get ready for tonight.
I'll get another one today.
You still start on minus two for 2025, okay? We're clear on that.
Listen, I made no representations.
Jack is in Bayliston. How's it going, Jack?
First time, guys, all right?
Yeah, hi, Jack. Good. Is this your first time on Beat the Pundit?
It's a good
way to kick off the new year, that, isn't it? Giving it a go.
We'll give it a try.
I like that Jack's, I'm sure it's not, but just in case, Jack's New Year's resolution is to go and quiz shows around the country, and he's starting with us.
No, my New Year's proper resolution would probably be to try and get Rangers a new manager, but we'll take that.
Well, we'll get to that after Beat the Pundit, but imagine that.
So you're not Jack Butland, are you? No.
No, quite, mate, no.
Just going to start, work his way up. He'll be in the 1% club before long. What else is still on there? The Chase, is that still
going? The Chase,
going?
Yeah.
That's still out there.
Chase,
exactly. Well, listen, you've got to start somewhere, a sign ball. Who knows what it could turn into.
Bullseye.
Heads, it will be Roger Hanna. Tails, it will be Marvin Bartley. And it is Heads.
Yes.
It's minus two. Roger Hanna Jack. So let's give him something
all the best,
else
Jack,
to listen to. All you've best, got 30 seconds, Jack. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
No worries.
30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. Who replaced Martin O'Neill as Celtic manager?
Oh, pass.
What does VAR stand for?
Video assisted referee.
In which season did Gretna play in the top flight?
2007.
Who's Rangers' longest serving first team player?
James Tavernier.
What nationality is Motherwell's Tawanda Maswanisi?
Congan.
Who's got more international caps, Jim Leighton or Craig Gordon?
Jim Leighton.
Okay, Roger Hanna, are you ready?
Yes.
Same set of questions. The first minus two of 2025. I'm excited. Your time starts now. Who replaced Martin O'Neill as Celtic manager?
Gordon Strachan.
What does VAR stand for?
Video assistant referee.
In which season did Gretna play in the top flight?
2006-07.
Who is Rangers' longest serving first team player?
James Tavernier.
What nationality is Motherwell's Tawanda Maswanisi?
Zimbabwean.
Who has more international caps, Jim Leighton or Craig Gordon?
Jim Leighton.
What Spanish club was Kieran Tierney on loan from Arsenal to?
Real Sociedad.
How many South Koreans play in Scotland?
Two.
Okay. Jack, what do you think? He starts on minus two. Have you done enough?
No, I've not done enough. He's got further than me as well, so nah, I've not done enough.
It's a good game though. It's a good game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Did you hear Jack's answers, Mark?
No.
Okay. Who replaced Martin O'Neill at Celtic? It didn't get off to a good start, Jack. It's Gordon Strachan. Roger moves one behind. VAR stands for Video Assistant Referee. I know you've all got other suggestions about what it could stand for, but that's the official answer. You both got it. Roger stays one behind. This is a difficult one for me to police. Not that difficult, actually, because you were
Just go against Roger.
He was undoubtedly wrong, is the way I'm seeing it.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
It was the 2007-08 season.
Okay,
not 6-7. But Jack just said 2007.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm giving him that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think
they were in there in 2007. Yeah, I agree with Jack.
I know when I'm behind. Do you think I'm going to argue Marvin Barkley's not going to fight my corner, okay, regardless what the situation is?
So that's a crucial blow for Jack, because the minus two has been reinstated. You both knew James Tavernier. Mm-hmm. So still minus two. Tawanda Maswanisi is Zimbabwean. Jack, Roger goes back one behind. You both knew Jim Leighton has, what was it, 11 caps more than Craig Gordon,
yeah,
as things stand. So still one behind, Roger Hanna. He then equalises Kieran Tierney, Real Sociedad. Jack knows it. He knows he's out of time, but Roger still needs to get this right. How many South Koreans currently play in Scotland? You've got Yang of Celtic, Kwon
Celtic
on loan at Hibs,
yeah,
and that is it. It's two.
See if you had anything about you, you'd have said and Lewis Ferguson.
Oh, Jack. So close,
man.
Gutter.
Ah, I was rooting for you. Cheers, in case Jack, you couldn't tell, I was trying my best.
Me too.
So is this is this pre Marvin Bartley? You know anything about Gretna being in the top flight in Scotland?
I do, weirdly enough, because Abdul Osman, who's from down the road, played for them.
Right, okay.
So, I knew of them.
Do you know where they played their home games in the top flight?
You told me before.
Oh, well.
I can't remember where it was.
Fir Park.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
I mean, it's
which
not
is...
that close, but I suppose if you head up the M74, it's like the first stadium you would get to.
One,
I mean,
yeah,
it might take you a while, but in theory, it's the first one you would get to.
That is bizarre. I didn't actually know that until you told me last time.
And at that time, the pitch could barely handle one team playing on it, never mind two. So,
Big Abdul, he played at Thistle as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Do you know him from back home?
Yeah, we used to play college football against each other. He's a centre midfield as well. Had a few battles.
Bet you. Oh, you two would have kicked lumps out of each other.
That's all that was happening. Not much football was being played.
That would have made Rubizic and Watt look like a tea party.
And the thing is, he calls it college football as if it's got the glamour of, like,
nah, it's
the
literally
States.
Like
down the park.
Yeah, down the park, local park.
Jack,
on the college course.
Tell me more about your New Year's resolution to get Rangers a new manager. I don't know how you're going to manage it, but I like that. I'm interested in the sentiment, because he had a lot of support on the show from fans yesterday. You're not agreeing?
No, I'm not. I think it's one of those ones that just now where he's done all right against Celtic. In the lead up to that, wasn't too bad, but I think this is probably the worst away form. I mean, I'm 25. This has got to be the worst away form I've seen a Rangers team in my lifetime anyway. Going with the amount of points that we've got away from home this season, it's unacceptable. As a Rangers standard, away from home or even at home, it really doesn't matter. To be where we are, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was sacked for less, Michael Beale was sacked for less, so I don't understand why this guy is still in a job. But given that, listen, he's clearly been brought in for a project. So if he's still here, I'm not going to be too disheartened about it. Mm-hmm. But I think it is generally time for him to move on. Realise I think the job's a bit too big for him.
Those who defended him yesterday, Jack, said things along the lines of they're at least now playing a bit better. There's more of a style. It's not as boring as it was. They're now capable of some proper big performances, i.e. Celtic and Spurs. Eggerman's now in the team and looks good, and Hadji's now in the team and in theory starting to see the best of Nicholas Raskin as well. None of that enough to win you over and pull you back from the manager must go?
No, definitely not. And it really comes down to the fact that we're all right against bigger teams, against teams that will come out against us like Celtic. We can play all right even against Hibs. Hibs had a go at us. We scored 3 goals, but we can't keep the back door shut. It seems as if every week there's something else going wrong. There's like a vicious circle going on at the minute where we can't score goals, but we're keeping the back door closed and we're getting clean sheets, and Philip Clement's coming out in interviews and saying, but we kept the clean sheet, we just need to find goals. Now we're finding goals in Hamza Egemani, but we can't keep the back door shut. It's never ending.
Did we see evidence of that yesterday? Because this is a theory with some serious a serious sample size behind it. Of when Rangers play so-called bigger teams or teams that have more of the ball versus when they're required to dominate the ball. Did we actually see it within one match yesterday where Hibs dropped off the game a bit once they went 2-0 down, and that's when Rangers looked at their least effective? You know, we only needed to look at the changes within the one game to see that. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is definitely fair. I think both teams were actually better on the count yesterday than having the ball. Exactly the point that you're making there. Which was quite funny to see. And, you know, David Gray spoke about the tactical change that he did make, and it was Hibs dropping off and saying, OK, Rangers, you have it, but when we turn it over, you know, can we go and attack? And listen, I get the kind of Clement out, and I get what Jack's saying, but outside of the penalty, the two goals that Rangers conceded are down to individuals for me. The first one, if you look back at it, Rocky Bashiri chests the ball down and lays it to Martin Ball. I'm not sure what Yilmaz is doing. Yilmaz just ends up standing behind Rocky rather than going and pressing the ball. Now, any defensive player, you know that immediate danger is Martin Boyle hitting that shot. And for some reason, Rocky lays it to his right-hand side, Yilmaz goes to Rocky's left. Unexcusable. And then the corner, you're set up from it. Liam Kelly, I'm not sure what he's doing. Proper, I'm not sure what he's doing. You know, King, I'm not sure what he's doing. And, you know, me and Roger were speaking about it. Rocky didn't even have to jump. It wasn't like a big, powerful header that he made. He just kind of stood there and headed the ball in the back of the net in the 82nd minute. Now, if you've got a desire to defend for your life, which defenders should do, and you're playing at a club of that size, as Jack's saying, you know, Rangers are struggling in terms of, you know, their away form, coming off the back of beating Celtic 3-0. If you're not going to do it on the back of that, then you're never going to do it. So, yeah, the manager can take a lot of blame for things. But yesterday, you know, individuals have to take accountability.
And the problem we have as well is, regardless of what some people might think, Gordon, there are good coaches in the Scottish Premiership. There are good players in the Scottish Premiership. There are intelligent players in the Scottish Premiership. They will look at this Rangers team and think, we can get at them. I know how to play against them. David Gray get it right. David Gray, quite an inexperienced manager. Yep. Manager of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Quite an inexperienced manager. Changed things at 2-0 down and suddenly was back in the game. Tony Docherty of Dundee, a very experienced coach, will be looking at footage of that game and Rangers trip to St Mirren and Rangers trip to Motherwell, and he will have Dundee well prepped. I saw Dundee yesterday, and you mentioned, you know, how to get at Rangers. Simon Murray will be licking his lips at the prospect of going against that Rangers back four.
Jack, what about the penalty though? Do you feel any sense of injustice there? I know the manager certainly does. Can you bring yourself to agree with him on that?
Listen, I think Neil Lennon sums it up on TV at the game. If that's your team,
that's you're shooting for that penalty. But if that's against you, you're not happy. That's just what happened in football. It's a collision of both players. It could have went either way. That could have been given as a penalty. It could have been given as a free kick to Rangers.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of one guy, one referee, one man in a game. These things have happened. It's all a matter of opinion. But the problem, the real problem I've got is we shouldn't have to rely on that to win a game of football against Hibs. If you play for Rangers, you don't concede three goals in a game. You don't go into that game, especially after Celtic, go in there 2-0 up. I mean, go into that game 2-0 up. I don't see how you can drop points in that game. It's absolutely beyond me. So we'll get so many Rangers fans and even Philip Clement blaming the referees again for these decisions. But Rangers should have been out of sight. Out completely and utterly out of sight and out of mind. And I'm listening there about the guys saying about the likes of what at the corner, what's Liam Kelly doing? What's these guys doing? I don't think that's the keeper's fault, if I'm honest. There's a scramble of bodies in there. Liam Kelly's tried to come out and get it, but even if he doesn't get it, he's not saving that. That's in the top corner. I know there's no power in it. That for me, that's down to the defenders. That's down to the defenders not wanting to put their head in the line, put their neck in the line.
Do you think that goes in, Jack, if Liam Kelly stays in the goal?
Oh, it's in the top corner. It's in the top corner. He's about 4 yards out. Listen, you could put three keepers in that goal and they're not saving that, and it's nothing to do with the power that was in the header. It's just where it was in the goal. You're not saving it.
Rangers fan, you did say you wanted more harmony in the new year, Roger. Rangers fans are now quoting Neil Lennon on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Yeah. If that's it, he is an excellent pundit for what it's worth.
Listen, for me, it's a penalty kick. Nowadays, a penalty kick. As soon as John Beaton gives it, there's no way of VAR overturning it. It's a penalty kick. For Philip Clement to complain about it is a deflection tactic. The truest word spoken is what Jack has just said. Rangers at 2-0 up and 3-2 up should not lose that game of football. It's as simple as that. They should see it out. There's enough experience there in the team. They were surely brimful of confidence and belief, having just beaten Celtic 3-0. And it all collapsed again.
It's a very, I was going to say debatable penalty, Marvin. And what I mean by that is quite specifically, people are looking at the exact same incident and interpreting it, you know, completely different ways. Where I've heard all sorts of things mentioned about, well, Hadji gets there first and it's a foul on him. I've seen people talk about, yeah, but Josh Campbell gets there first. You know, people are looking at the same incident and seeing it two completely different ways. I've seen, you know, obviously people are doing still images, which I hate, particularly for challenges like that, and looking at where the legs are. Then people are thrown into the mix. Does Hadji, is there a nudge in the back of Josh Campbell? In which case Josh Campbell must have got there first, but Hadji's legs are there first. We're going round in circles on it. I think what is clear is that it is never getting overturned from whatever the original decision is. And that's where some people might think that's a good thing about VAR, because the whole crux of it, this is not a Scottish FA thing or a Willie Collum thing, is it's not meant to re-referee the game, and you need to try and give a bit of emphasis to the referee. However, other people say, well, I don't care about that, I would rather just arrive at the right decision. What was your take on it all?
My take on it was that if the referee had waved play on, then VAR wouldn't have got involved. You know, when the penalty was given, I knew it wasn't going to get overturned. And
but is it the right decision?
I can see why it's given. And as I said, you know, for me personally, you know, if I'm the attacking team and we get that penalty, obviously you're delighted. From the defensive team, I'm absolutely raging. So it really is one of them, Gordon, that could have gone either way. And listen, the referee's put into the spot because he's seen whether it's a shove or, you know, Josh Campbell being tripped and never going to get overturned. Obviously, from Hibs' point of view, yeah, I was delighted that it was given as a penalty. But if it had been at the other end, I'd have been absolutely raging.
Remember Andy Halliday and Brad Lyons before Christmas? That Friday night game? Mm-hmm. You know, it was like a coming together like that. I thought,
well, that should have been a penalty.
100%. That's what I'm saying. I actually thought it was a penalty.
Think it was as bad as that one?
What, decision wise or foul wise?
Foul wise?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's a penalty.
Yeah. But other similar ones, Gogic was actually sort
of Gogic and Komama,
Rugby Park, maybe.
Yeah. These things even themselves out, though. Referee decisions. I know Clement's moaning about, you know, them giving away a penalty and he thought it was soft, but, you know, equally at Fir Park, Jack Butland gets away with one, you know, which I didn't think was a foul. So, you know, it's just one of those things that you just have to deal with. Like,
I was just about over that.
Yeah,
as well.
Sorry, mate. Rangers' biggest problem yesterday wasn't the referee. It was the fact that, as Gordon said, Roger said, sorry, speaking about Gordon, they threw away a 2-goal lead. Then it was 3-2. And then for me, one of the subs was so bizarre. Diomande went to right wing and Baron coming on is absolutely fine, but the amount they're going right midfield, I just didn't understand
it. I know, listen, this stuff about, oh, the players were tired, they were really, really tired, and you don't understand. And what, Hibs made one substitution in the game.
Mm-hmm.
34-year-old Dwight Gayle, who's played through the festive season, managed to play 90 minutes.
Wee Dwight Gayle.
Martin Boyle.
Wee 5 foot
you
six
said,
Dwight
what
Gayle.
Age is Martin now?
Yeah, 31, 32.
There you go. Yep. Played another full 90 minutes, and that's with his past injury record. Mm-hmm. You know, they all played 90 minutes, and Hibs were finishing stronger. This is now beginning to annoy me, this nonsense about, oh, they were tired, you know. See, if they're tired, there's something the matter with the way they've been conditioned.
Thank you very much to Jack. 01419511025. Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what you're hearing so far? Give us a call and we will speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah's here, so is Marvin Bartley, and you can get involved on that usual number or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Give us your thoughts on any of the day's big talking points. Let's quickly do a teaser. We won't dwell on it too long because there's so many calls still coming in. Hamza Igaman scored this season's first hat-trick in the Premiership. Not only this season's, the first since.
Is it 2019?
No, for goodness sake, we're not that bad. May 2023.
2023.
But still, that's over a year and a half.
Jordan White?
Jordan White, no Scottish top flight hat-trick. This is because I'm really excited like that. I was lying in bed thinking about this last night. It's a sort of lifestyle I lead.
Wow.
And I thought, like, what is there an actual boring explanation here that with the introduction of five subs, it's just less likely that players get left on?
I think it's more likely that he took inspiration from George Oakley on Saturday, who I saw for Super Scoreboard.
Do you know what I mean, though? I'd like some Boffin to explain it, because has the number of braces, the number of doubles, has that dropped off? We're not just suddenly incapable. Or is it just a quirk?
Yeah,
true, but do you know what I mean?
So
how many players do go, like, Igaman go left on, but did Kuhn go off? Did he score two at the weekend?
Yeah.
He went off. You know, it just feels like quite often now, I feel like Ange Postecoglou would quite often, if you've got five, you're usually taking off your front man, your two wide men.
Yeah. No, that's true, actually.
I was thinking of you as George Oakley scored these goals. Remember that point you made in the show? About how the Germans regard a hat-trick.
Yeah, it has to be...
It needs to be in succession.
Uh-huh.
It needs to be left foot, right foot, header. It all needs to be in the same half. George Oakley ticked all of the boxes.
Did he? Good on. Because Igaman did left foot, right foot, head.
So
in Germany, I think it's like... I think they did not discover it at the Euros or something. They take it really seriously. It has to be that. It has to be in that order as well, is it?
I'm not sure it has to be that, but
someone can clarify. It needs to be a left foot, a right foot and a head. I think it might be in a certain order and it needs to be in the same half.
And also, you can't have a goal in between. You know, if you score a hat trick, say you've got two, then Martin Boyle scores and then you score a third. That doesn't
count. Gosh, still don't give away the balls, do they? That's so tight.
Something like that. Anyway, we digress. So before Igaman, can you name the last... Let's go three each because I want to keep it short and sweet. Thanks to Richard Nisco-Bride for the question. The last three Rangers players and last three Celtic players to score a hat-trick in the top flight.
Boyd.
No.
Perfect.
Good start.
Tavernier.
No.
Defoe?
Yes, against Hamilton in 2019.
Morelos.
No.
No.
In the top flight. Last three Celtic, last three Rangers.
Kyogo.
Yes. Okay, that's one from each. So we'll leave it there for... Now, Rab is a Rangers fan. We've got David on the other line as well. Let's go, Rab. He was just through first. Rab, what's your point tonight?
Hi, hello, Gordon. Hi. It's good to be on the programme. Look, just to like to say that at the moment, right, Rangers are a better side than Celtic, right? They've beat them, right? I know it's an ongoing thing with the league and all the rest of it, but it was obvious to see, and that's why Brendan Rodgers are a wee bit upset, the Rangers... and a better side than Celtic.
You have just disregarded the league as if it's some minor sideshow, Rab. I mean, obviously, I get that Rangers won the last head-to-head, but does that mean they're a better team than Celtic right now? Is that a bit of a stretch?
What I think, Gordon, is that Scottish football is getting better, and we've got to appreciate that every team that are playing better, Hibs are playing better. There's Hearts. They all thought they were going to get relegated. They're two games away from going for the top six now. You know what I mean? You've got Ross County beating Dundee United. Scottish football's on the up. Now I'm a Rangers fan, and I mean, I've seen the lows and the highs of Scottish football, and I love to see what's happening right now. I think things are good.
That does seem like a separate point, though. You know, when you say Rangers are better than Celtic right now, just purely based on the game at Ibrox, then, because it can't really be based on much else, can it?
The last game, you've got to say, Gordon, you know, we ran them. We should have won the cup game. You know, really, to be honest, if everybody's been honest, and Celtic fans, I'm sure, will look at that and say we're very lucky. You know, that they took the game on. So. But like I say, but you take on the chin, and I think that's what it is. I like it's very competitive in Scottish leagues right now, and everybody can kind of beat everybody. I think it's getting better, and I think we're kind of down in it and sort of saying, oh, you know, Rangers have lost points against Hibs. They're not working Edinburgh, and the Hibs fans, and I talk to them, and they're all buzzed up with what's happening, because they're, you know, I think you've just got to give them a wee bit of credit. And like I say, I am a Rangers fan, and I want Rangers to win. But sometimes you've got to look at, I think, what Clement's doing at the moment is brilliant, right? The guy's a Rangers man, right? And he's doing what he can do with the people there. He's got some fantastic football players there. And let's just carry on, you know? But I love the Scottish game at the moment. I think it's... I didn't used to watch the games, but I want to go and look at the crowds. They're all going back to the games.
I mean, I like all of this in theory. I love talking it up, and I'm all for it. I just don't get the correlation. Like, if you're at Rangers, that comes with a certain set of standards. It comes with much more money than all the other teams. You just cannot say, look, the other teams are good. These other teams are getting better, and it's okay that we can't go and win a game away from home.
Sorry, Gordon. I'm still lost on the point that Rangers are better than. I just don't. That's not true. That is definitely not true. But yeah, listen. In terms of the Scottish game, I agree with kind of Rab, and it's getting better, and more people are going into stadiums, and you know we're seeing, you know, Tannadice has been full, and you know, Aberdeen Pittodrie's been full. It's been absolutely brilliant. You know, really, really competitive between Hearts and 11th, I think, and whoever's in sixth place is at St Mirren. You know, it's really, really tight at this moment in time, which shows that it is competitive. So I agree with that point, Rab, and I back you to the hilt. You know, I love the Scottish game. I always speak it up. It frustrates
me. But are Rangers better than Celtic right now?
No.
That would be the big question.
No, definitely not. And that's the bit that kind of confused me. So when you started speaking to me, I was kind of in a daze. But no, at this moment in time, yes, listen, Rangers done really well in the cup final. We know all about the penalty incident. You know, did really well at Ibrox to beat Celtic 3-0. But over the course of a season, you know, that answers itself, really. You know, there's no chance at this moment in time that Rangers are better than Celtic. You know, it's just not true.
They were better than Thursday, but I think Thursday is the exception that proves the rule. The rest of the time they haven't been. They lost two cup finals. You can make arguments that Rangers were perhaps the better team in both cup finals last year, but they didn't win either of them, and that's what cup finals are about, winning. That was Philip Clement's first win in 7 derbies, so it really was the exception that's proved the rule.
Thank you to Rab. We can agree to disagree on some of the points. That was Rab from Fife on 0141 951 1025. David is on the line. How's it going, David?
I'm fine. Just before I make my point, just ask Rab to go and look at Rangers trophy cabinet against Celtic. I think we hold the 3 trophies at the moment. So that would prove that Celtic are the better team in the whole season. Not in a one game, not in a one-off game.
I thought some people might disagree with that point, for what it's worth.
Yeah. My point is, I'm a Celtic fan. I watch a lot of Rangers games as well, because I'll go there with the early kick-off. Now, I watch the history. I'm fed up with Philip Clement coming out with excuse after excuse. Now, this penalty was a penalty. It's a soft penalty. It's a penalty. Now, my point is, Fabio Silva, last year at Celtic Park, minimal contact. The referee didn't give a penalty and actually booked the player, then had to go to VAR, look at it, and gave the penalty. And the Philip Clement came out after that game, and you can go back and look at it, and said there were contact, so it's a penalty. It's in the box, it's a penalty. But when it's against Rangers, he wants to say there's no contact. I said it's terrible. Penalties are given against it. And his words yesterday on Sky was, when he was interviewed about the penalty, was, if penalties are given for that, I'm going to tell my players to go down in the box. That was his words on Sky, that. Live on Sky, that was his words. Now, every goal that's scored against Rangers is a bad goal. They're bad goals. They could be. I mean, Hibs yesterday, the right back was absolutely shocking for the first 30 minutes. It was nowhere to be seen when the Rangers player got the ball and has it into Iggy Manny to score. They found a gem in Iggy Manny. I would like him to come to Celtic. He's a raw young talent.
Well, that would get this phone in going, wouldn't it? Can you imagine, David?
Yeah. He's a raw young talent who looks like he's going to be a superstar, and I don't see Rangers holding on to him. I think they'll do a Nathan Patterson with him. Nathan Patterson hardly played any games. Got offered $14 million. He was out the door in a couple of days, and I think they'll do the same with Gamani. I think when they get the offer in, he'll be away. And there's a couple of clubs sniffing about him.
To Celtic, can you imagine? Wow, we need to book. Well, we need to book this studio out for. I have to say, 10 hours.
I'm quite glad I abandoned this. Why don't we all get a long resolution? Because I'm not sure it's got much of a hope in 2025.
I know why fans do this. I don't know if it really helps us reach a conclusion on what David's talking about, Fabio Silva, and what how Philippe Clement reacted to that. Someone sent in a tweet earlier, forgive me for losing it, and amongst the thousands of others, that after the Jack Butland thing, Philippe Clement said he trusted VAR. Mm-hmm. You know, and now of course he's not too happy with the incident at the weekend. I think I on this show would be the world's biggest hypocrite if I said we shouldn't complain about refereeing decisions. I mean, that it's part of the fabric here, and it keeps us going at times. And I think managers should speak out if they feel hard done by. It just feels like this one, although the Rangers fans might think so, it doesn't feel like this one goes into that howler category. No. I'll always talk about these ones that we always come on and we lay them out there as if they're a matter of fact, as if this is a concrete, hard done by, no questions asked, and in the injustice cabinet forever.
I don't know
if it's there.
You're Willie Collins, representative in Elf.
Best friend, I think, is the way I prefer to
after
be.
After the Premier Sports Cup final, everyone knew Rangers had been the victims of an incorrect decision. Willie Collum held his hands up. Everybody agreed it should have been a penalty to Rangers. This time, not everyone's agreeing it should be a penalty to Rangers. It should have been a penalty. I thought it should have been a penalty to Hibs. I think John Beaton called it right. I think the VAR called it right. And when you next sit down with your dear friend Willie Collum to discuss these matters, I'm pretty sure Willie Collum will say the officials got it right.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Do you know something, Marvin? I don't know. Do you know something, Marvin? I don't know.
A lot. There are a lot of things you don't know.
I'm interested to see how that one
I genuinely
plays out.
Don't. I've been ignoring them recently. I feel like some time apart was needed. It's got a bit much.
Too much, yeah.
The last time.
See, in the living room, you're in the kitchen now.
Yeah, just trying to, you know, just coexist in their own certain way. Because again, you know, and this is where I have said before, I think we are all, so whether that's fans, whether it's managers, players, we've discovered the KMI panel, and mm-hmm. we're all enjoying to a sense what it brings, but we're putting loads of emphasis on it when it suits,
yeah,
and then not so much emphasis when it doesn't suit. So Philippe Clement said yesterday, we're looking forward to see what the panel and Willie Collum had to say about this one. The panel who thought that Jack Butland goal, you know, should have stood. And then similarly, I said this in the show on Friday, because, and you know, well, I suppose us media types have to front up to this sort of stuff, Roger. The KMI results from the 2nd of January games, they came out on Friday.
Yeah.
Every single decision the panel thought was bang on the money, right? Every single decision, bar one, was by a 5-0 margin. We've not seen anything like that this season. But that doesn't get reported anywhere because it's not interesting.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's only when there's a disagreement there.
Yeah.
But anyway, David is giving us his take on it, which is fine. Philippe Clement will disagree. Roger and Marvin kind of agree with David. Lots of Rangers fans will disagree. It feels like it's one that there's a bit of a divide on, which is fine. 01419511025. Mr. Carlin has given a good go to the teaser that you two are working your way through. It's Richard and East Kilbride that sent it. Can you name the last 3 Celtic and 3 Rangers players to score a top flight hat-trick? This is before Iggy Man. So Kyogo and Defoe.
Hey, Maeda.
No.
Coon.
Nope.
James Forrest.
Yes.
St. Johnson.
It's Hadji. No,
Hibs.
For...
Hibs, remember the one? It was it was his landmark appearance, goals.
Yeah.
Is Hadji on there for...
No.
Doing well at this one.
Yeah, really good. I'm impressed with the level.
I think the Rangers... Did Scott Arfield get a hat-trick in a game?
I think he did.
Maybe a cup game or something?
I think he did.
Or too far away?
But yeah, he's not in the list.
Not in the list?
Oh, he's the fourth, if you like. We're going back.
Okay, so we're going... Right, so it's more... Kamar Roof?
Yes. I love this from Gaz, who says maybe Clyde SSB and Gordon Duncan should listen to the two ex-footballers on Sky Sports this morning who could not believe that was given as a pen. Two ex-players, not a presenter and a journalist, says Gaz. But this is my point.
But
about
did the former referee not say they got the decision right?
He kind of fudged it a bit. I thought, this is the point though. At some point, those two former players or any other former players, you'll disagree with them. We can't pretend that things are concrete when it suits and they're not when it doesn't. That's the point of it. Yes, on this occasion Gaz is aligned, but next week he won't be, and he won't mention that. That's where we have to
that's
be
what happens, yeah.
Honest, I think, with ourselves when we analyse these things. And I again, as we kicked off this whole conversation, I am nowhere near offended by anyone who thinks it's a penalty, because it's clearly a very debatable one.
Yeah,
just look around, Gaz. 0141 951 1025. We can take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Quick show this, because there's been quite a lot to get through. I just quite like to get stuck into events at Fir Park yesterday. That was my result of the weekend. None of you even mentioned it, actually, now that I think about it. At the top of the show,
everyone's beating Aberdeen now, so it's not really a big thing, mate.
Andy Halliday, man of the match again, was he?
I heard he was up there, certainly, and he was officially the game before. He is in good form. I'll admit it, because he's not here, so that's good. I wouldn't like to compliment him to his face.
Putting some great balls yesterday. He should have an assist, actually.
What with Dan Casey's miss?
Yeah. He's closed his eyes there.
That was not ideal.
Andy's contract off?
I think it is. Yeah. Oh, that's why he's playing. That's why he's playing well.
He's doing a Martin Boyle.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know where he is tonight, genuinely. No idea. But anyway, 01419511025. We're happy to have Marvin here with us on a Monday. John is on the line. How are you, John?
I am good. How are you? It's okay.
John. We started off with a raft of calls about Brendan Rodgers and Greg Taylor and Kieran Tierney and so on. What is your take on it?
It's a wee bit of a different take. Rodgers is a very clever, clever man, and he doesn't say anything without really getting it pre-thought, I think. There's a few kind of points. I'll try to squeeze it in, because I know you're coming near the end of the show. He says he wants Greg Taylor to stay. I believe Greg Taylor's already said he wants to stay. He's been to Ireland to meet Dermot Desmond, along with the board. Celtic are now willing to pay whatever Greg Taylor wants, which is fair enough. And the Kieran Tierney stuff, I don't get it at all. If there was mere rumours about Jota, I'm sure the fans would have been singing Jota in the wing. Would that upset Nicholas Crewe in the rest of them? I don't think so. I think maybe Tierney's not coming at all. He hears the fans chanting his name. He gets a bit upset because he wants Taylor to stay. Managers say you can't get enough good players. So I just don't get it. I just think there's an ulterior motive in the full shebang. I didn't think there wasn't any booing yesterday. A bit disgruntled in the first half hour. But I've seen that time and again at Parkhead. I don't get it. I just think there's something more sinister in it. He doesn't say none without pre-thought, Rodgers. Just for you guys,
thank you. Always like a good theory on this show,
yeah,
Roger.
Listen, I fully expect Kieran Tierney to be a Celtic player next season. I think he'll sign a pre-contract this month. I'm less convinced he'll get a deal done this month. I tend to agree with what Mark Wilson said at the weekend, but I think he is coming back to Celtic. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Where that places Greg Taylor is the fascinating part of it, John. Would Greg Taylor sign a deal knowing that, having been first choice at Celtic more or less all of his Celtic career, he now becomes second choice left back? Or, listen, does Greg Taylor, I know he's close with the likes of Ryan Christie, Stuart Armstrong, Christopher Ayer, guys who have left Celtic for smaller clubs but in a different league, and, you know, just going for a different footballing adventure, if you like, John. I wonder if Greg Taylor's maybe considered going and doing something like that.
What do you make of John's other kind of slant there, Marvin, about it's possible if I can spit the words out, that the Celtic fans might sing about Jota as an example. I think that's a better example, because the Henrik Larsson one, I'm just not convinced. You know, that's a legend, and it was ages ago. They could in theory sing about Jota. They may even have done, I don't know. Would Daizen Maeda get upset about it? Would Nicholas Kuhn get upset about it? Because Brendan Rodgers likened it to, I think he said, it's like me being in the touchline and them singing about another manager. But then the counter to that would be, well, yeah, but you only have one manager. You know, if you sung about another manager, it's quite obvious that you want a replacement. There might be Celtic fans who that is their mindset. They want Taylor out, Tierney in, but there might be loads of others, and John's talking about it, that you know, fans might just want, they might want them both, they might want Tierney. It's not meant to be a slight on Taylor.
Yeah, I think it depends on the individual. And, you know, since the start of the show and we heard Brendan's clip, and I've been thinking about it from like a player's point of view when I used to play and how I would have felt in that position. And if I'm being totally honest about it, I don't think I would have liked it. You know, looking back as a player, I genuinely don't. And I get it from a fan's point of view, and, you know, they don't mean anything against Greg Taylor. They just talk, you know, singing for Kieran Tierney. But I think it would be hard to take if you are out on the pitch and, as Brendan said, you're giving your all and they're singing for somebody else. And the fans might not have meant it in that way. But as a player and as an individual, I think it would be a hard thing to hear. Now, you've spoken about, you know, Jota and Maeda and Kun, how would they feel about it? You know, if he's come towards the end of his contract and there have been rumours for him to come back and fans started doing that, you know, maybe they fall into the same category. Maybe they're stronger mentally and they'd be like, you know, I don't really care about that. So I do understand that, you know, the more I've kind of thought about it and, you know, I spoke about it earlier, Brendan seeing Greg Taylor's reaction, you know, I'm beginning to understand it a little bit more, kind of his protection of him.
John, you mentioned, you know, the kind of being a bit disgruntled when things aren't happening straight away is commonplace and has happened for a long time. Does that make it right, though? Do you understand Brendan Rodgers wanting a bit of trust?
Calling it out yesterday, Celtic fans were obviously not very happy about what happened at Ibrox. So they went there, they're waiting for something to happen in the park. It was slow, it was lethargic, but it has been in loads of games before. And I've not heard Rodgers saying anything about it then. Apart from years ago when he just came in at the start and it was a European match against somebody and he says, oh, be patient, we need to get back. If you keep the ball, you can't lose a goal and stuff like that. I remember it all for years back. But I just thought he'd bring it all up yesterday and be so aggressive, even with Nicholas and stuff about him getting hit in the nose and he needs to man up. And I just thought the full press conference, it wasn't as if he was getting questioned about these things. He kind of broke them up.
Yeah, he certainly wanted it off his chest, I think.
And if Tierney comes, I reckon he'll not come to the summer, because if Celtic need to pay his wages, Arsenal wages for January at the end of the season, I kind of see that happening. And if English clubs are prepared to do it like West Ham or something, Tierney will just need to sit in his hands for the summer if he wants to come here.
Yeah, I suppose, I wonder though if again, this is not to make it right, but if we put yourself in Brendan Rodgers' shoes, Tom Ford's perhaps, you would say, you know, your whole week, every waking minute of it, everything you do is focused on getting your players to play a certain way. And it's the way that you think gives you the best chance of winning the game. And all week long, you're drumming it into them. We're up against teams with a low block. If you can't make progress, we come back, recycle the ball, go the other side, try again. Is it just a natural worry for him that when fans grumble about that, that it's going to spook the players ultimately? And it becomes a bit counterproductive.
And they start to go away from what was planned and they start trying to force balls forward and then all of a sudden you start making mistakes and then, you know, the fans get even more frustrated. So, yeah, and also, listen, players have to be strong mentally. You know, it does happen. They're playing for Celtic Football Club at times and the fans are going to be frustrated with the way they play. It's just part and parcel of the game. So, yeah, listen, he wants them to stick to the game plan. As he said, you know, look at the end result. We end up winning the game 3-0, which everyone was delighted with, but I need that kind of support from the start. So, no, I get what he's saying.
This show has been full of the unexpected for me. I expected lots of talk about Brendan Rodgers' comments, but nowhere near the amount of calls and tweets we got, an incredible number. I did not expect calls that Iggeman would be a good signing for Celtic. I did not expect claims that Rangers were definitely the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. And I did not expect you two to get through the show without falling out over Beat the Pundits.
Hey, listen. With time, everybody just got along.
Exactly, it's a new year.
We're almost there. Can you name the last three Rangers and three Celtic players to score top flight hat tricks before Iggeman? You've got Forrest and Kyogo for Celtic. You've got Roof and Defoe for Rangers.
Oh, it's an Edward. Go back that far.
No.
Scott Sinclair.
You're going back way too far.
Way too far.
Think of this, the Ange Postecoglou team was free scoring and.
Jota?
No.
No.
The other one.
Matt O'Reilly?
Nah. You were closer with Jota.
Oh, he's gone to America.
Yes, that would be the one. Come on.
He's going to America.
Yeah. He always came in the back post and scored.
He always came in at the back.
Yeah, Giamakis.
No!
No!
The winger.
The winger. He's always come in the back post. He's always doing it against
Leila Bada.
Yes. Do you know what's annoying?
And I've kept the last one up my cuff as well because he scored as they put six past Motherwell. Fashion Sakala.
Jackie Marcus was the fourth on Celtic's list as well. Fashion Sakala. Yes. I tried to forget about that one, I must admit. Right, thank you very much, Roger Hanna, Marvin Bartley. That was extremely busy on those phones, so major apologies if you didn't get through. We'll do it again tomorrow night from 6, and I am buzzing about tomorrow night because Gordon DL has had some of his cosmetic work done on his face. It'll be on the live stream. He was here at the weekend, but we weren't live streaming at the weekend. We were just in the radio studio.
I'll be tuning in.
Look, it might have eased up, I don't know, but he can't laugh. Or when he laughs, his face just sort of stays like this. So worth watching for that alone. Back at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your Monday.